Next Chapter Podcasts.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Welcome to another episode of the Thick Skin Podcast with Jock and Hawk. I'm LaTroy Hawkins, and I'm here with my boy Double J.
What up, Hawky? Good to see you again, my man.
Man, we got a lot to talk about this week, Double J. We got a mixed week in her first few days as with the Indianapolis Fever, Caitlin Clark, sexist encounter with the journalist in her first interview. We got her record Nike deal. She got a signature shoe. Got the collective athlete plea to the NCAA to not ban trans athletes from women's sports. And Mr. Zach Wilson was traded to the Denver Broncos, not the Broncos. They're the Broncos now for what they did to Russell Wilson, the Denver Broncos. With that being said, my brother, let's get this kicked off. Caitlin Clark, as we know, about 10 days ago, she went first pick overall in the WNBA draft to the Indianapolis Fever. Well, the Indiana Fever. I get to say Indianapolis because I'm from the great state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. And this reporter, Mr. Greg Doyle, he has this back and forth with her. As you know, when Caitlin, you know, after the game, she looks at her family. She gives them the heart sign like this, like that. So Mr. Doyle thought it would be cool if he made that same heart gesture with his hands to Caitlin in her first interview with the Indiana Fever.
Right.
And he did that. Caitlin says to him, "You like that?" Doyle replies, "I like that you're here." Now, let's stop right there. He could have not said another word, and that would have been just perfect. That right there, "I like that you're here," because with that, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words, we can say, we can take a lot from it. "I like that you're here. I like what you've done for the WNBA. I like what you've done for the NCAA women's sports. I like what you've done, period. The way you carry yourself. I like everything about you."
Right.
But no, not Mr. Doyle. He takes it a little further. Caitlin responds to that. "Yeah, I do that at my family after every game," the heart gesture. And this no good with a cockamamie, whatever you want to call this clown, he says, "Start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine." I don't know. For me, that meant I am the head nacho in town. So I'm the gatekeeper of all the media in Indiana/Indianapolis, the capital. So don't get on my bad side. Do what you do to your family. Do it to me and we're going to be just good. I'll never write anything bad about you. So it's like a subtle threat. Do it to me and we'll get along just fine. For me, it wasn't a female or male thing. For me, it was him trying to intimidate the person that he was interviewing, whether it was male or female. Your thoughts?
For me, he's saying, "Do it to him and we'll be fine," right? But I'm like, who are you? And maybe that really mean something to her and her family. Right? Mm-hmm. Why would I do it to you? You know what I'm saying? It could mean something way more than we ever know.
Correct.
You know? So, I mean, if I was her, I would have took a strong offense to that, because like, you're taking something that means something emotionally to me and my family, and you're making a mockery of it. And then you're saying, well, if you do it to me, we're going to be good. Like, who are you? I'm going to be good here regardless to whether we're good.
Well, Caitlin being cool, calm, and collective as she's shown on a basketball court in competition, she didn't blink at that. Like, I think everybody else in that interview room came, and everybody else around the country came to her defense.
Of course.
And she didn't blink. I mean, you know, Greg Doyle, he wrote an apology. You know, I'm devastated to realize I'm part of the problem. I screwed right. up Wednesday during my first interaction with the number overall pick, Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever. He goes on to say, so now, I didn't do anything wrong. I gave Caitlin her signature heart-shaped hand gesture as a way of introducing myself and welcoming her to town. I did this during a national televised press conference. What kind of idiot acts creepy on national television? Me. I don't know what was creepy about that, but I guess. I mean, like you said, it's personal between her and her family.
Right.
Now, it's not personal when you're doing it so the whole world can see it. It's not right. personal, you know? Right. But, you know, but again, this is not Caitlin talking. This is everybody else talking for her. This is everybody else doing the talking.
Yeah.
And Doyle said, this is how I talk to everyone. Had that been the male equivalent arriving to an energized team and a town since I've been here, the closest thing shown him the heart gesture and reiterated, I like that you're here. This is Indianapolis. Has had its coach quarterback, Anthony Richardson, the closest, you know, star I guess they've had in a long time. Whatever. I'd have where I was convinced was harmless and right. When a woman I deeply respect told me, but Caitlin Clark is a young woman and you don't talk to a young woman the same way as you would a young man. And my heart dropped because now I saw it. After years of being so sure I was on the right side of all these arguments, I was now on the wrong side, and for the oldest reason known to man and woman. What do you got on that? We could go so deep into this. Like, you can't say anything without people just cherry picking your words, adding them to their already perceived trauma that they have in their life, their right. triggers and everything. Like, it's just too much. It's too much. I think he was trying to be funny and it went sideways. We're making this out a male-female thing, and this is not a male-female thing.
No, but you know, in our society, a lot of people are protected. Some people aren't, right? Like, I saw Steven Jackson went after
Jason Willock.
Nope. Oprah's best friend, Gail.
Oh, yeah.
King. Was that? Is it Gail King?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right, because she. Right, and he felt like she disrespected Don Staley, which, you know, listen to what happened. The interview was about Don Staley, but she made it about everyone was rooting for Caitlin Clark.
No, she said.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everyone was rooting for Caitlin Clark. Everyone wasn't rooting for Caitlin Clark.
No, everyone was.
And to give her just, she's been a wonderful addition to women's basketball, college, and now on a professional level. But everyone wasn't rooting for her. A lot of us were rooting for Don Staley because of the things that she's accomplishing at South Carolina. You know, but, you know, they made it kind of a black girls against the white girls. And it was just, you know, so I go for South Carolina.
That's America.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, we pick and choose who we want to protect and who we don't.
Yeah, I think America has made it a black and a white thing. And it's sports.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be a black and a white thing when it comes to sports. Why? Because Iowa had a team full of white girls and South Carolina had a team of black girls.
Yeah.
Like, why they just can't be girls or females just playing a game that they all love?
Or the number one team in the country versus the number three or four team in the country. Why right. can't it be just that?
Right. I get it. But again, the last 2 years since Caitlin Clark has been on the scene, it's been America has matched her up against the black teams.
Of course.
They matched her up against Angel Reese,
LSU. Yep.
And then they matched her up against South Carolina.
Yep.
Why? Because
those were the two matched. Because America's girl against, they wanted her to win. They did. It's just the facts of life.
But they wanted her to win that bad.
They wanted her to win.
Hmm. Too bad they didn't have anything to do with it.
Those girls had other plans.
And Caitlin Clark signs a huge shoe deal with Nike this year. Yeah. The other day.
Yeah.
Reportedly at worth $28 million over 8 years. Plus, and this is the kicker. This is probably the deciding factor. Her own signature shoe.
Yep.
Puma came in at about $3 million a year. And they dropped out. Adidas was at $6 million over 4 years. Not enough. They said the closest contender was Under Armour.
Yep.
They wasn't too close. They were out.
Yep.
But, Under Armour, they came in with one hell of a sales pitch. Their biggest athlete, they brought in Steph Curry to try to recruit Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
For $16 million over 4 years and her own signature shoe. Not sure what that signature shoe would look like in Under Armour, but I'm kind of glad she picked Nike.
Yeah.
Under Armour. But you know what? It takes somebody. I look at it. If Steph couldn't put Under Armour on the market, Caitlin Clark damn sure can't put them on the scene.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like the money that she's going to be making.
Yeah.
She's going to make more money through one of her endorsements than she'll probably make in the WNBA in 20 years. Exactly. You know what I mean? It's not even close.
Yep.
And that's another huge talking point right now that it shouldn't be, but our social media, this time 2024, everybody got a voice. Everybody get to state their opinion, whether it's stupid as hell. Yeah. Or you're just plain right ignorant, because ignorance is curable. Stupidity is forever. Remember that. Write that down if you're listening. Ignorance is curable, because you can always learn. Stupidity, that's forever, man. You can't change that. Stupid is what stupid does, plain and simple. But, I'm happy for Caitlin Clark. I'm extremely happy. I'm big on women's sports. Love it. Love what she does. Not saying she's going to play like she played in college, but she's going to be a damn good WNBA player. Now, I ain't just say good. She's going to be a damn good player. A damn good player. Because what she can do on a basketball court, her unlimited range is going to serve her very well. And we talk about her scoring, but people don't talk about how unselfish she is.
Yeah.
She's putting in points, but she's passing up a lot of shots to get her people on her team in the game.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. And Nike, they went a little further into the future. For the duration of the proposed contract, which is 8 years, suggests that the brand sees not only long-term stardom potential, but truly global appeal. Yep. So the next 8 years, Nike exec Reason would give Clark a chance to represent the USA at three different Olympic Games, Paris, LA, and Australia. How about that? The U.S. roster for Paris won't be released until June or July. And guess who's going to be on there?
Already.
Caitlin Clark.
Already.
Doesn't get any better than that, man. She's it's pretty impressive. Man, I love the hype, though. I really do. I love it. I just don't like them pitting her against the other girls.
I don't.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
They're all in this together.
But she deserves it, though, man. She does. And not the comparisons with the other athletes, but she deserves, college basketball, women's college basketball is already on the map, but she just she just really thrust it in everybody's face with what she was doing. She's a great shooter. She's a great passer. She's a good teammate, right? She's feisty. You know what I'm saying?
It's competitive. Uber.
She's competitive. Yeah. And so she deserves everything she's getting, and I'm happy for her. And I'm glad that she came to an agreement with Nike. And I mean, she's already global. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Most people know who she is, and good on her to get opportunities to be an ambassador for the game of basketball for women.
Great ambassador. All right, so we're about to move on and transition into conversation about trans athletes competing in women's sports and NCAA, which is college women's sports.
Yep.
And you got former NBA and Olympic basketball star Sue Bird. You got former NFL defensive end R.K. Russell. And you have Megan Rapinoe. They're among 400 elite athletes who signed a letter urging the NCAA to allow trans women to compete. So trans women are, and I don't want to get this wrong, mm-hmm. trans women are men who are transitioning to be a woman. And trans men are women transitioning to be males.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get that out there for the listeners. We have to get that out there because, again, all this is a learning experience for me. I know it is for you too, Josh.
Yep.
And I want to make sure that I get the terminology correct. Don't want to be giving off bad information. But this case is when you have these athletes that are, you know, Sue Bird, you know, Megan Rapinoe, they're all, you know, for women's sports, you know, they were for the civil rights movement and everything else that just went down with the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd incident. You know, they were two of the athletes on our soccer team and on one of our WNBA stars who they were allies. They were definitely allies.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a tough conversation because, you know, when you're transitioning from a man to a woman and trying to play in female sports, where does that leave these young women who have for their entire lives practice, you know, day in and day out, trying to be the best at their sport, trying to beat a biological woman, and they get to that point where they're finally starting to compete in their respective sport, and then you have this trans woman who comes in and completely blows you out of the water or blows you off the track and take your spot, and now that keeps you from making the Olympic trials or, you know, taking that next step in your career. I mean, all this makes me scratch my head. Because at the end of the day, we really think it's cut and dry. It's like, no, women shouldn't be competing against men. Men shouldn't be competing against women. We got our own professional sports. That's why we got them for women. It's not that simple. It's really not that simple. It's so complicated.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the letters were coordinated from the LGBTQ sports advocacy group, Athletes Ally. I mean, they brought in some heavy hitters, but the NCAA is not going to change their stance on this. They're not going to do it. It's not, no way, no how, no can do. They're not going to do it. And, you know, people have their stance on what, and people will draw their line in the sand on conversations like this, just like they do with, I'm going to throw this out there, abortions. You know, they will draw their land in the sand and be ready to pretty much kill over conversations like this.
Yeah.
So when we talk about it, it's a tough conversation because when you're talking, everybody's not going to like what you're saying.
No.
There's going to be a side that's not going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
but my job is to give you the facts and making right. sure I don't give you anything wrong.
Right. And you're not being insensitive when you talk about it. And no matter what you say, somebody's going to take it as we are being insensitive.
Right. Again, I said earlier, you have these women who are working hard at their sport, trying to compete and get to that next level in their career. And then all of a sudden you have a trans woman coming into the competition and pushing you further and further back of where you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
I think that's where the issue comes at with a lot of the competing females and yep. not just competing females, females across the country. Everybody has their own take on this.
Right.
And where it should be. What do you got, Jack? I mean, it's just, there's no right or wrong answer for me. There's no right or wrong answer. I just say, when we talk about this, just make sure that, you know, we're really thoughtful about how we say it, because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. I don't, I can do that on my own,
yes,
but I really don't, because I'm ignorant to a lot of things yes. when it comes to conversations like this.
Yes.
So I'm always willing to learn.
Yeah. And I am too. And at the hest of not being like insensitive, I would just say, you know, where was their rankings or stance when they, before they transitioned, you know, like
in the men's sports,
in men's sports, right? Where did they stand? And then transitioning over to a woman, now competing against women, other women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do they stand in that? You know what I mean? And as dumb as this is going to sound, but like this is just, you know. What if a guy identifies as a woman and now he wants to play softball?
It's a possibility.
Right? Without making the transition, but he identifies now as a woman. Right?
Right.
Is that going to be allowable?
That's the great debate.
Right. So it's like, I mean, if they are allowed to do it, hey, by all means, do whatever, you know, the NCAA is allowing you to do or society is allowing you to do. But, you know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it, but, you know, at the behest of not saying anything out of line or causing a problem, if they let them do it, hey, God bless you.
So remember I said earlier about this is a much deeper conversation. We're just like, we're on the top layer of it.
Yes.
Because we're reacting. We're not proactive. We're being reactive to yes. the situation. So just doing some Googling, like we Google everything. And I was like, is there something that men have to do to be able to compete at a female sport other than just say, hey, I want to transition. And there is.
Okay.
National Collegiate Athletic Association, which is the NCAA, mm-hmm. allows male athletes to compete in women's sports if they complete a year of testosterone suppression treatment and maintain certain serum testosterone levels.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA's policy also requires a hormone level test before the start of both the regular season and the championship events. The NCAA also allows for a medical exemption review for demonstrated need for use of a banned medication. The institution must submit written documentation to the NCAA of the year of treatment and ongoing monitoring of testosterone suppression. So that has a whole nother layer to what we're talking about, because we just think, hey, I want to transition to be a female. So now I'm going to play female sports. Well, there's a lot going into that. You got to do a whole year of testosterone suppressing. So you're not getting what we're getting that makes us male, that testosterone, they're cutting that off with those testosterone blockers. I don't know how much that evens the playing field, but it makes me feel a little bit better about it.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Testosterone is huge, man. And we're going to transition from our girl Caitlin Clark and the NCAA and transgender males, females, to our boy Zach Wilson being traded from the New York Jets to the Denver Broncos. They'll never be the Denver Broncos again. I was in Denver this weekend, and every person that I knew that was a Bronco fan, I asked them, "What's going on, man? What are y'all trying to do over here? What are you trying to do?" And they all had the same story, man. It ain't had nothing to do with us. Oh, now I don't have nothing to do with y'all. But when y'all winning, everything got something to do with y'all. But so the Jets traded Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos on Tuesday. It had been coming out multiple reports that he was going to be traded. The Jets receive a 6th-round pick in return and will pay part of his $5.5 million salary this upcoming season. He joins the Broncos after 3 failed seasons in New York. The number 2 overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. You know, they went out on a limb and the limb collapsed on him. He was benched repeatedly over the last 2 years. They went and picked up Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got hurt in the 3rd play of the season, 4th play, something like that. It was in the first series of the year. Wilson got thrust into play again. They ended up 7-10, missed the playoffs. He struggled, benched a couple times, and he was eventually traded. What do you think Mr. Wilson needs to do to be successful in Francoland?
I just think he needs to keep progressing, keep getting better. Sean Payton is a quarterback guru, supposedly, so hopefully he'll That's why I said supposedly he's supposed to be a quarterback guru. Okay. You know, I watched Zach Wilson last year, and he made some progressions from the year past. But it's tough, man, to be, like we talked about on the show last week. It's tough to be a high drafted quarterback and who's expected to come in and turn a team around that doesn't have much to work with. So, and especially in that market in New York, you know, with Daniel Jones and Zach Wilson asked to catapult these teams into the upper echelon of teams in the NFL, that's asking a lot of those guys and not having enough weapons around them to do it. And yes, they started putting some weapons around them, but like, hopefully he's going into a much different situation. It's not as scrutinized in Denver as it is in New York. He'll have a fair chance. He'll have a better chance to develop. And we'll see what happens. But I pull for guys like that, man, because I feel for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the expectations of the second overall pick, man, that's off the charts. That's a lot of damn pressure, man. That's a lot of pressure. For me, I don't get to see him play much, man. I really don't. Excuse me, only when he's playing against the Chiefs. And the time he played against the Chiefs last year, he actually played pretty damn good. So from my assessment of him from, you know, maybe seeing him 2 games and reading about, you know, some of his troubles, I think very athletic dude. He got some arm strength. I saw him make a whole lot of throws against the Chiefs, man, like putting the ball in the bread basket, like making some tight windows, making some great throws. But I think watching him, I think he looks for the grand slam all the time, as opposed to taking a single here, a single there, a single check down. He's always looking for the big play. And I think for young quarterbacks, when you're always looking for the big play, you open yourself up for a whole lot of bad things to happen. Instead of like taking a little 5-yard pass, you know, taking your running back out of the backfield, your last option, you know. And another thing with them, the young guys, once they start getting hit a lot, very, very early, You get a little gun shy, man. You get that PTSD, man. And it's real. And I don't care what people say. Like, you can be Monday morning quarterback guru all you want. But it's one thing about it. The more you get hit, the more you start to feel like you're about to get hit. That speeds up everything. And when the game starts speeding up on you and it ain't slowing down,
oh yeah,
that's in any sport.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Because only bad things can happen. Man. Only bad things can happen. Only bad things can happen. You think his mom, check that out. His mom on her posted on her Instagram story, Yahoo. We are so excited for Zach. Which she's supposed to be. That's her son. He was the second pick overall. She raised him. She carried him for 9 months. That's what she's supposed to say. Mm-hmm. That's what she's supposed to say. She had a Broncos flag flying outside our house with balloons. Zach's dad already had a Denver jersey on to celebrate. Like, they were all excited. Like, I don't like what people wanted them. What did people want them to do? Still wear their jet stuff? I'll bullshit. Ain't what that baby say on the screen. I'll bullshit. No, it's turn the page. You get a second chance. You know, you get to go somewhere. You know, you think he need the change of environment? Do you think that? You think the grass is, you know, going to be greener on that side? Yeah. Like, do you think he finds his success in Denver?
Like I said, I do. It'll be a much more tame environment, right? It'll be. He won't be asked to do as much as he was asked to do in New York, whether it be from the team or from the fan base, right? The Broncos will be kind of in a rebuilding situation. It seems like Sean Payton's starting to get pieces over there that he wants, that he feels like he can do something with. And so, you know, as the team grows and Zach grows, they'll grow together. So, again,
and that's like, and that's best case scenario, best case scenario. But you know, for me, a change of environment, does it help?
Yeah,
sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I'm not sure if he's going to a better team, and if he is going to a better team, especially a better offensive team with better offensive weapons, will he be able to distribute the ball to the playmakers and get out of the way for me, he looks like a guy that needs to be, you know, 3-4 step drop, getting rid of the ball. He needs to get rid of the ball. The longer the ball stays in his hands, I think the more of a chance bad things can happen, and bad things, I'm saying him making the wrong decision. He needs to get rid of the ball. Holding on to the ball is bad for business for Mr. Wilson. But I'm excited for him. Hopefully Denver is a city, like you said, it's going to be low key. It's not going to be, I don't care that the Nuggets won the championship last year. Denver is still Broncos town. They are a football town. The Rockies don't even exist. I was just at the Rocky game on Sunday. They don't exist. It's all about the Broncos in Denver.
Yeah.
All about him. So if he can revitalize that organization, just, you know, just a touch, you know, he's pointing that needle in the right direction for that fan base, because that's a very loyal fan base.
It is.
They're very loyal. Kind of like those Chargers.
My bad.
And I'm going to throw this in there. This is the last subject, bro. LeBron. We're going to transition to a little NBA. After game two of the Lakers Nuggets, LeBron in his post-game interview had a couple choice words to say about the NBA refereeing in the playoffs so far. Remember, it's only game two, but he just didn't reference his game. He referenced another game and got up and walked off the podium. Like, I'm out. I don't need to answer anything else. So it's one thing we know for sure, that he's going to get, he's going to get fined, because you can't talk about the referees. But does he have a legitimate gripe?
Yes and no. And yes, because, Was it a foul? I mean, I watched the replay. The ball was out of his hand, and then the guy hit him across the head. D'Angelo Russell was driving to the basket. Okay. And in the process of going to the basket, ball leaves his hand. Then I can't remember who the defender was, but he swiped D'Angelo Russell across the head. So they reviewed it and said that the contact was basically inconsequential to the outcome of the play, right? So then everyone goes off. But my thing is, because I'm a Lakers hater, right? That
I love it.
The referees didn't blow a 20-point lead.
Preach, boy.
The referees didn't leave LeBron open with 40 seconds left in the game to make a game-winning three-pointer. But this one play lost the game for the Lakers when Anthony Davis attempted two or three shots after getting into foul trouble. But again, like, they lost a 20-point lead in the second half, and that one play cost him the game. I don't think so. And the game he referenced was the same thing. The 76ers lost a 5-point lead in 40 seconds. Yeah. And that one play that with of Maxey, right? The point guard. Same thing, inbound pass. There was a struggle for the basketball. The guys were all over him, and everyone says he got fouled. And then the referees came in after that game the next day and said they made a mistake, that it was a foul. By that time, it's too late. But you blew a 5-point lead in 40 seconds. So, yes, they have a gripe? Absolutely, they have a gripe. But on the same token, like, the referees didn't blow those leads. So,
no. It didn't come down to one last play.
Yeah.
It didn't.
And how did it get to that play?
It's a lot to happen. Right. How do you get to that play?
You are
a Laker hater.
I am.
I know you.
You better believe it. And none of my teams have championships. And I'm not proud of it, but I mean, might be one of the only things I'm. Might be only okay, one of the things I'm loyal to.
Well, during every show, we always have the Thick Skin Award goes to who? Who you got?
Hunter Wendelstadt.
Hunter Wendelstadt.
MLB umpire.
Love it.
Oh, my God.
I know
God.
Where you're going with this. You got to describe what happened. Now you got it.
So, Hunter Wendelstadt and Aaron Boone, I'm saying after the first pitch of the game, already going at it, right? And I happened to be in New York at the time. So, you know, something happened and Aaron's saying something to Hunter, and then Hunter tells him, "Hey, Aaron, I had enough out of you already. I don't want to hear anymore." The next word that comes out of the dugout, "I don't care who it is, I'm running you out of the game." Right? Basically, you need to control your dugout. Right. So they circled this fan on Instagram, right? Because I forwarded it to my inbox and I saved it. They circled this fan on Instagram. And no sooner than Booney goes back to the dugout and he's on the top step and he's having a conversation with his coach, he's looking at his nails, right? Trying to shine the sunlight off of his nails to see how polished they are. This guy says, something to the effect of, "Oh, come on, umpire," or something. And he turns around and he says, "All right, Aaron, you're gone."
And Aaron looked like a little kid defending his
umpire. He called timeout, bro. He's looking around like, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything.
And his bench coach, the first
thing. Oh, yeah, he points out the guy and says, he said it. I didn't say anything. God, Hunter. Jesus.
That was awesome.
If you're going to be an umpire, right, and if players have to have thick skin, you definitely have to have thick skin. He didn't care who said it, bro. You're gone. And his statement after the game was, yeah, I know Aaron's gonna make it seem like he didn't say anything or do anything wrong, but I heard what I heard. And if you look at this deal on Instagram or wherever you could pull it up, you'll see plain as day Booney didn't say a word, and this guy screamed and he ran Booney.
Well, it's been good, Double J. You know, thank you guys, everybody, from tuning in to another episode of the Thick Skin Podcast with Jock and Hawk. We do this because we love it, enjoy each other's company, and just want to get on and, you know, give our perspective on a lot of things that's going on in professional sports and sometimes in the real world. But we're out. We'll see you guys another bad time, another bad place. Peace.
See y'all. Take care. We'll see you again.
Porn, Satan, drugs, therapy. It's not just the list of what I'm up to this weekend. I'm comedian Kiki Anderson, and those are just a handful of the taboo topics I've poked and prodded at so far on my podcast, Indecent, the show where we peel at the wallpaper of polite society. Each episode digs into the dark underbelly of our culture to dissect the things we aren't allowed to talk about around the dinner table, featuring conversations with comedians, activists, journalists, academics. They all help me figure out the who, what, and why behind what is and isn't acceptable behavior. Indecent with Kiki Anderson, where NSFW meets LMAO. Mwah.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
Next Chapter Podcasts.